Again, at the beginning, it's Sunday, November 5th, 2017, and I say hello to the students in front of me and to those listening around the world. So what we spoke about last week with Birchat Hagleimel after a robbery, a very fascinating tshuva, and there's no question it's open to analysis. B'machteret, you see the Torah itself tells you, the Gemara and Sanhedrin, everything we quoted, you have to analyze, is he there to kill you or just to take your money? But even if he's there just to take your money, it could be, if it's a frightening experience, just have to say Hagomel. The question asked, the person asking the question, didn't feel that way. Reb Menashe Kleinfeld, you certainly have to say Hagomel, because unfortunately in Brooklyn today and in modern times, when they hold you up, they can shoot you for many, many reasons. In addition to taking your money, they don't want you to identify them. Well, just out of cruelty, out of meanness, people who hold up people are not exactly the nicest people in the world. Okay, but it's an interesting shiva with interesting analysis, with a lot of implication as far as building a fortress around the city and building a fence and contributing. And the truth of the matter is, if I want to be a wise guy, I can say in the state of Israel, make a cheshbon, how many people there are, and take my taxes and say, on one hand, you have a right to take a progressive tax. If I make $10 million a year and someone else makes $10,000 a year, but when it comes to security, you can't take a progressive tax because you're defending each individual. They're defending the life. The Gemara in Baba Batra. I mean, you could make a case like that. A dear friend of mine who's been gone since 77, but we bonded when we came in Aliyah at the same time, and we both had a connection from Jewish Action, a name that you won't recognize, Reuven Gross. But he was a frum Jew when it wasn't fashionable to be frum. He built whatever there is in Staten Island, began with Ruby Gross. So the Supreme Court, which has a tradition throughout the last 100 years already, how many years do we have a Supreme Court, an Israeli Supreme Court? Well, let's say it's since 1948, although even before that there were Jewish judges on what was considered a Supreme Court here. And they have a tradition which is not exactly in consonance with Torah values. So originally when the television began in 68, it didn't broadcast on Shabbos, originally. You follow me, Avi? Then they went to the Supreme Court, I'll never forget it, and it should be like the radio, and the Supreme Court ruled there can be television on Shabbos. And people were literally dancing in the street. It was a bizarre that was tangible. Very sad, but that was the reality, particularly 69, 70 this happened. And, so Ruby Gross made a cheshbon. You had a TV tax at the time. They have this in Europe, but it's been abolished in Israel, thank God. When I turned 65, I didn't have to pay a TV tax. It was a tax that if you were older, that somehow they decided not to tax you. So Ruby Gross figured out the TV tax 7 days a week, and he only paid 6/7. He refused to pay for the seventh day. Of course, it went to court. It was a big issue. It went all the way. He was a lawyer, so the legal aspects didn't cost him anything, but he got a lot of publicity. Ultimately, the Supreme Court ruled that the tax has nothing to do. It's not a daily tax. It's a tax for having a television, and you have to pay the full tax. But you could make a case, and the Gemara and Baba Batra and everything we analyzed. But halacha l'maisa, you have to say hakaymo. All right, now we're beginning, we're turning now where we began last week, and you're going to have very fascinating material today. Mishnah halachat, we're talking chelek tetvav, siman ayin dalet. And a very simple question, based upon the Gemara in Brachot, and I quote the Gemara again, Dachin Chet, Ton Rabbanon, Haroeh Chachmei Yisrael, Omer Baruch Shechalak Mechachmato L'Reyav, Chachmei Ovdei Kachavim, Omer Baruch Shenatan Mechachmato L'Briyotav. And that's the Gemara. I showed you last week the varying readings, but the varying readings really are not of our concern right now. That's the Gemara, and even if you read Shem Bimkom Biryotav Labasav Adam Lamainaf Gemina. But let's look at the Gemara again. Haroei Chachmei Yisrael. Okay? For the sake of argument, Professor Louis Feldman, Zichzeichet Tzadik Levracha, Louis Feldman walks in. I trust everyone knows the name Louis Feldman. I was in the very first class he ever taught in Yeshiva College, 1955.
Never heard of him.
Professor of Greek and Latin at Yeshiva College, maybe the top person in America dealing with Greek literature. Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, etc. So Louis Feldman walks into class. Now Louis Feldman was a frum Jew 100%. Louis Feldman was a Talmud Chacham, and he learned and he raised wonderful children. I wouldn't say he's a Gadol B'Torah. And this is the question. He walks in, do you make a bracha? Look at the Gemara. Look at the words of the Gemara. Haroeh Chachmei Yisrael. You make a bracha. What does it mean, Chachmei Yisrael? Chachamim in what? Louis Feldman, Greek and Latin. Professor Albert Einstein walks in. Yosef, they say he flunked math in high school. I believe there are all types of stories about Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein walks in, and we have a lot to be thankful. You don't realize that he lent his name to what became Yeshiva College, Yeshiva University, the medical school. He lent his name. There are many famous Jews who don't observe, who don't lend their name to a Torah institution. And he lent his name, and it certainly helped. Today, it's hard to talk about it because Albert Einstein... what medical school are you in? You're an Einstein. So you know Albert Einstein. My brother's an Einstein graduate. So you'll join my brother. Albert Einstein lent his name, Dr. Belkin, etc. No, you make a bracha. And what's interesting is... last week I quoted to you the Chachmat Adam when he puts down the Gemara. Here I can quote it again. Look what he says. Haroeh Chacham Gadol B'Torah. Add the word B'Torah Me Yisrael. You follow me, Sam? He was living already. The grocer from Vilna, who the Rav had such derech eretz for me, it's an amazing day. The Rav, I don't know how the Rav described him, evidently family tradition, they knew what he looked like, a little man, and a gon shebegoinim, and Chachma, he wrote this farim, a well-received in the Litvisha world, halacha l'maisa, on Yoredeya, on Orachayim, and he already is living at a time of enlightenment. So there were probably people who were saying that for an Einstein, for Feldman, they're Jewish, but they have tremendous knowledge, make a bracha. No, for a Jew, the only knowledge that counts is Torah. Now, I also showed you, so that's the Gemara, that's the Chachmat Adam. I also showed you last week, very fascinating, the Orach HaShulchan says, and I quoted you the source last week, I can quote it again, Reish Chaf Dalet, Siman Vav, that since, what do you mean? How do you measure it? How do you measure? What do you mean by knowledge? How much is knowledge? How much do you know? I've been learning Torah for how many years now? 80 years? And what do I know? I always tell you the Vot from the Rebbe, I'll never forget that Vot. Talmud Chacham. You're always a Talmud trying to become a Chacham. If you think you're a Chacham, you've lost. And you know, the more you learn, the more you see how little you know. So the Orach HaShulchan says, well, what do you mean knowledge? And even, let's take Lahavdil, secular knowledge. When I was a kid growing up, Yosef, I don't want to offend you, but when I was a kid growing up, I thought a doctor, wow, what a doctor has to know. Yeah, I'll be happy if Yosef will be a medical doctor. Let's say you specialize in eyes for the sake of argument. Or my brother, an ophthalmologist. If you're current with the literature on eyes, I'll be happy. You follow me? You got to keep up to date. My brother, if I ever asked him a question outside of ophthalmology, my brother would say, you can know as much as I can, just go to the computer, he says. I know ophthalmology, I don't know anything else. You follow? So even with secular knowledge, Einstein knew mathematics. Did he know biology? Did he know chemistry? I mean, these are interesting questions. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, we don't make the bracha today. Interesting. He knocks the bracha out, because who are we to judge how much knowledge a person has? Is this the right amount? Chazal didn't give us a shiur. For Kiddush, Abba, you make Kiddush, you have to have a revi'at yayin in the cup. You understand that, right? In the coast, I should say. Did I say cup? In the coast. You have to know in your cup that you have a revi'at yayin in the coast. Follow me? And I got to tell you, I see problems. I don't open my mouth. I sat Friday night. I was a guest at a beautiful, beautiful dinner. And a guy was arguing with me, and I tell you, it was like a battle royal. And I said, I'll pause for, I got a lot of emails, I'll move sideways for 1 second. I said a word to someone this morning, I was Zeiche Negit Shmei Avad Shmei. When they praise you, when you're famous, you lose all your praise. What am I talking about? This 2 weeks in a row in this well-known website, blog, I was declared Echad Migedolei Yisrael. And 1 week, I'm put in the category, the three big men in the world, Rabbi Heschel Schechter, Rabbi Morty Willig, and your humble servant. So Friday night, I imagine Yasmicha too, this successful rabbi and whatnot. He ripped the ear in that company. Did he find fault with Reb Heschel? Did he find fault with Reb Mordechai? Oh my gosh, it was like I'm disgraced. You saw what happened? And as much as I tried to defend them, I couldn't win. I couldn't win. I have my defense. I know what their complaints are. No. I understand that's his personality. We saw it before once with the vaccination. But you notice, I didn't get upset. I tried to battle him, but I got nowhere. At the best, I would say it was a standoff.
He still thinks the world.
No, I don't. It's okay. I'm not. No, I'm not upset. But say that we can do battle. But all my the Waldorf Astoria doesn't equal it. But all my students who sent me the website, I appreciate it. But you should know, Negid Shmei Avad Shmei, that's what came out of it Friday night. Anyway, coming back here, the Aruch HaShulchan, very interesting. He says, we don't make these bracha today because who can judge how much someone knows? I have to say that halach l'maisa, we don't accept the Aruch HaShulchan. In other words, if Rav Moshe Feinstein walked into this room, I would make a bracha. No two ways about it. If the Rav, you see the Rav for the first time, you make a bracha. And Albert Einstein, if he walked in, then the shaila is, if Albert Einstein wouldn't be Jewish, you certainly make a bracha on Chachma. But the fact that he's Jewish is this question, do we give credit to a Jew for knowing something outside of Torah? Is he allowed to know outside of Torah? What you're going to see in this tshuva opens an unbelievable world of thought. And we're going to scratch the surface shortly. Now, look in. Let me pick up where I left off. Look into the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish Chaf Dalet and Or HaChaim. Look into Simin Katan Vav. Haroei Chachmei Yisrael. Lotus. He doesn't use the word Torah. Haroei Chachmei Yisrael. He's quoting the Gemara directly. Omer, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shechalak Mechachmato L'Reyav. Halacha Zayin, Haroa Chachmei Omot Olam, Obdei Kachavim, Shechachamim B'chachmato Olam, Omer, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shenatan Mechachmato L'Basa V'Dam. Okay, so you see the Shulchan Aruch, Paskins LaHalacha, quoting the Gemara word by word. The Lashon Natan Chalak we'll come back to in a few minutes' time. I want to show you one other question that comes up in the Nosei Kelim of the Shulchan Aruch. And this is worthy of a master's thesis. You look into the Sharei Tshuva, right on the Halacha we just quoted. What does it mean, you see, Chachmei Yisrael? What does it mean, you see, Gentiles who are Chachamim? Wait a minute. Kiddush Levana. Tell me, can you be Mekadosh the Levana? You're in apartment building. Tall apartment building. My apartment, it's like a 10th floor. It's a building on slats in the mountain, and we're on the highest floor. So it's freezing cold. It's the winter. I just heard two Shraga Torah Shraga kids say, gee, it's cold today. It's freezing. I said to these kids, this is just the start. If you consider this freezing, you're in for a rough winter. But yeah, all right, I understand. If they're from Florida, this is cold already. So imagine you don't want to go out. I look out my window. There I see the moon. Can I be Mekadosh the Levana in the house, looking through the window?
Why not?
Maybe you have to see it directly with no interruption.
You mean to say the window is a...
It's discussed by the Achronim. I'll give you another example. You're making Havdalah. You have an aged mother. I know people, they call their mother Motzoi Shabbos, they make Havdalah over the telephone. Is she Yotzei Havdalah? You understand it's not direct. The same thing with Kriyat Megillah. You're in a big, big shul where they use a microphone during the week, not on Shabbos. Deerfield Beach is an example. You know I'm talking about the Young Israel in Deerfield Beach. When I got up to speak there, there were 900 people in the audience. No, I can't say Rabbi Hacky Lookstein has a voice like a megaphone. My voice, 900 people, impossible. So during the week, there's always a microphone. I told the rabbi there that he should look into a tzomet system. So I knew right away his reaction. I could read his eyes. He's worried stiff. I said, it's a political question. It's not a halachic question. Halachically, the tzomet microphone is totally different. I reflection on this. I have the tshuvah out of the 40s, the 50s. You guys don't even know about it. In Baltimore, every shul had a microphone. Rav Levi was Matir, was the posek for the OU. I mean, it was a different...
Was the Pond that just
Who was... He was just Nifta last week, yeah, Rabbi Yisrael Rosen. Sefer Tzadik taught with him in the 70s. Sefer Tzadik Levracha, an unbelievable individual. But I told him, you can put a tzomet microphone in, because anyone who complains, tell them the average age of your balabatim is 90 plus. You understand, it's Deerfield Beach, Florida. We're not talking about the Kollel here in Gris. And he loved the answer, but I don't know what happened. But let's say they put a microphone in, and you're hearing Megillah over the microphone. Are you Yotzei? Okay? Imagine you have a tzomet microphone, and you're hearing shofar over the microphone. Yontif, are you Yotzei? All right, it's a very fascinating question. It deals, but I'm just dealing... So much has been written with the microphone. The problem is that you're not hearing the person directly. It's being amplified. It's changed. Something is happening to his voice. So la halacha, the psak is very simple. If someone's reading a Megillah and part of it you hear actually his voice, but it's being made louder, b'di'evit you can be matir. With the microphone, with a phone for Havdalah, it's more of a problem, because there you're not hearing the person's voice at all. You're hearing the amplification of the voice that goes through a process where, alpi physics, it's not exactly the second the man is talking. It's a process. There it's hard to be matir, but b'di'evit, if that's the way the person can hear Havdalah, so obviously you should do it. You follow me? Looking at, so that's the shaila here with the moon. Most of us are mekil, and he raises the question: what about if you see the chacham mechachmei Yisrael through the window? Can you still make the bracha? And he raises the question and compares it to Kiddush HaKodesh. Very fascinating. I'll take the question one drop further. Oh my, the world we're living in. No one looks through the window. No one looks through telephones. Everyone's walking around with that little thing in their hands. What about if you see a picture of Einstein, a movie of Einstein, right in front of your eyes? Do you make a bracha? Obviously not. Ad kedei kach, no. But the shaila is very interesting. Anyway, that's the source. That's the Gemara. That's the halacha. Now let me come into the question and let's start sailing.
You see Einstein through a window, you don't make a bracha.
I would say if you see him through the window and he's there live, you would make a bracha. Okay? Because it's no different than Kiddush Levana. And even though there are those who disagree, but halacha l'maisa, the halacha there has crystallized that if you can't go out into the street, but you see the levana through the window, and it's clear, you could make the bracha. So I would say with Einstein or with Reb Moshe Feinstein, we would have the same conclusion.
Well, if you open the window,
yeah. But we're talking about where, let's say, a window can't be open, you're in a hotel, or you're afraid to open it, Pashit, it's very, very cold. All right. Name, give me a name.
Jacob
Bernstein. Jacob, are you coming regularly? Because
I am,
yes. Okay, I'm happy. I need students. I am happy. I welcome you with open arms, but when I make a list, I got to know me, Jimmy Hachokim. Did you speak with me about Bernard Revel Graduate School?
Yes.
I have what to say to you if you can clean out your ears. Abiyai, can you clean out his ears for me? Do a job with alcohol? The works, okay. Jacob Bernstein, Reeks Fourth Year. Okay. This course, by the way, is no different than Rav Heschel Schachter's weekly Halacha Chabura, new topic every week, a new topic every few weeks. Yeah. Okay. Now, what's very interesting is the person asking the question, we'll call him a YU person. I don't know who he is. I don't know. He gives a name here, Shmuel. Oh, Shmuel Turk, Rabbi Shmuel Turk. Okay. So first of all, when I mention the name Rabbi Shmuel Turk, there are two rabbis Turk floating around in the United States in the 20th century. I'll ask a relative of theirs, Josh Schneider in West Hempstead, please send us the material who the two Rabbi Turks were, the Havdil, being one Rabbi Turk to the other Rabbi Turk. I believe one was a Ritz Musmach, one was a Teir Vidas Musmach. And the person asking the question, the Shmuel Turk asking the question, he's asking it like a YU person. He is saying, asking the question, if we see a Jew, could be Zenomaritz, but he has knowledge of Greek and Latin literature. He has knowledge of mathematics. He's world famous. He won a Nobel Prize. Do you make a bracha shenakan mechachmato lebasav adam or labriyot, depending upon what the gisser is? He's a Jew, but he has knowledge. Why should he suffer? Because he's a Jew. He's the equal to any Gentile. Chacham gadol b'chachmat olam. Do you make a bracha? And that's the question he is asking. Okay. Okay. Now, he develops his question, and he says, quotes the Gemara, and we'll come back to this Gemara again in Sukkah, Daf Chav Chet, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the least of the Talmidim of his period, knew everything. Not only Jewish Torah topics, Cheshbonot, Tkufot, Mazalot, Sichat Sheidim, Sichat the Kalim, in addition to all of Shas and Paiskim. So what do you see from that description, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that a Jew has to know everything. Everything, all knowledge, ultimately enhances our Torah knowledge. And if a Jew taka knows, make a bracha. And I told you more than once, the most difficult mesechtot are called ani, poverty, ayin, nun, yud. A ruvin, nida, yevamot. No, if you can learn mathematics, if you can learn biology, if you can learn anatomy, all these mesechtot become a lot easier. So you see, a Jew is obligated to know everything. And Lamed Yigara, if he is learned in many fields, even if he's not great in Torah, you are making the bracha that he knows chachma, general knowledge. Not that he knows Torah. And the question, the person asking the question, is coming on very hard, very solid, give credit, make the bracha. Now, in his question, he deals with something that I want to elaborate on. I'm going to give you a gift, a vot from the Rav. And it's amazing how I saw something this morning and made me dance for joy. There still is a difference. A guy is a guy, a Jew is a Jew. Torah is Torah, Chachma is Chachma. And what's the difference? And he refers to it here. He says there is a difference. You see, Torah is not just knowledge. You can have knowledge. If it doesn't transform the personality, you are not a Torah gestalt, you are not a Torah person. It has to transform the individual. Torah is very different than general knowledge. General knowledge, I'll give you an example from 1961. I was in the rabbinate already. I was 61, I went into the rabbinate. And I remember preaching a sermon. They just arrested the dean of the Graduate School of Business Ethics at Harvard University. He was arrested and went to jail afterwards. Why? He developed a whole system to cheat on taxes. Could you imagine? And he's giving lectures on ethics and morals. I don't have to tell you, they just arrested a very prominent American from Trump's team. I mean, Hashem Yirachem, if it's true what they're charging him with. Again, you know, it's one thing what the newspaper's saying, the reality. But laundering tens and tens of millions of dollars, Halbin Kesef, Be'ivrit Meduberet, very frightening. A guy can be ethics, morals, professor, know everything, walks out of class. He's a degenerate. He's a sinner. He's spending his time developing ways to rob the government. All right. Doesn't take away from his chachma. But when a rav, a rosh yeshiva, walks out of class and he robs, steals, kills, seduces, rapes, everything that we low alane, or I even know some of the people sitting behind bars on these charges, he's not a Talmud Chacham. His knowledge hasn't changed his personality. In order to be a Talmud Chacham, it has to be a gestalt. It's Torah. It's Yirat Shemayim. You're a different person. You can't walk out and be a degenerate example. Now, if this is correct, we understand something else. And here, I'll quote the Mashar. The truth is that my Talmud, Nachum Lam, who may be a distant cousin of yours, you both come from the same area in Hungary, and you have similar names in your family. So the chances are that you are related. His name, when I was in yeshiva, he got smicha the year I did. His name was Arnold Lem, and that's the father. Nachum has four children, two live here because of a guy named Ani Rothkopf, had a big influence on them, and two live in America. So Nachum Lem is my student who lives here, and he wrote this to me, and I'm telling Nachum now, what you wrote is a mashah. Why? Excuse me? Yeah, the lambs from Charm Circle, Kew Gardens Hills, correct. So, the Lashon, what did you say when we talk about someone who has Torah knowledge, Shechalak mechachmato l'reyav? Chalak, what does chalak mean? To share. When it comes to the non-Jew, general knowledge, Shenatan, he gave you. You see the difference? When it comes to Torah knowledge, God is sharing his very being with you. The essence of what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us and relates to us is Torah Hashem. And Chalak means He shares with you. And you have to become a Torah personality. In Matati Odeo, you have to resemble God. The Gemara, Zekelivi and Vehu, you have to be like God. Mahurachum, Apatarachum, Mahuchan and Afatarachanum, Mahugomel Chesed, Afatergomel Chesed. It's a different personality altogether. And this is the Mashah. Legabei Chachmei Yisrael Omar Shecholak Mechachmato Lefi Shechein Chethel Nachlako Nachlato. We're part of God. V'chelko Ki'ilu Hu Cholek Imam Chachma Sheyi Chachmat HaTorah. And you see, look at the words in the Gemara. Look at the bracha. Shecholak Mechachmato L'reyav. If you're not a Yirei Hashem, the wisdom, the knowledge, you can't gain it. You can't have it. This is not, it's no longer Torah knowledge. It's the example I gave you, which we struggle with, Shmuel Atlas, father was an Shvela Rav, was a Gon Shebegoinim. Shmuel Atlas learned in Slabatka with Kafruta with the Sri Deyesh. And later comes to America, tremendous Talmud Chacham, teaches at Hebrew Union College. And we saw with our own eyes in this class how he wrote a letter that you don't need to get in America, Dina de Malchuta Dina. And if the secular court declares you divorced, you are divorced. Laharbot mamzeirim v'Yisrael. It's frightening. But you see, that's not Yireyav. If it's not Yireyav, it's not really Torah. It's knowledge, secular knowledge. Theology, philosophy, call it what you wish, but it's not a Ben Torah. Now hold on, and that's the Lashon, Shechalach mechachmato l'Yireyav. And the Mashah says, Yulireyav, he quotes Pirkei Avot, Ko sheyirato yirat chato kodemet l'chachmato, chachmato mitkayemet. That if your yirat shemayim is more than your chachma, it will last, it's real. But general knowledge that a Gentile has, God gives it to him, but it's chachma b'alma. It doesn't confront you. It doesn't change you. It doesn't become part of your very gestalt, of your very personality. Yes, Yitzchak.
One of the things that really bothers me many, many times is when people talk about Martin Buber as a great religious Jewish philosopher.
Yeah.
He was a man who had great knowledge.
Right, but
he was not religious.
Right, they should call him a great philosopher about theology, but not a religious. All right,
I can't imagine a man like him after what all he writes didn't go to shul.
Right, I don't think was his wife Jewish. Why that?
I don't even know that.
His
wife wouldn't go to a sukkah.
Wouldn't go. Oh, God have mercy.
So,
And
if someone studies his theology, it's not different really from Reform.
And you know who his father was? Martin Buber, Solomon Buber, Shlomo Buber was his father. Shlomo Buber was a Hasidic Jew who was a Talmud Chacham and a scientific scholar. He edited Midrashim. He edited Midrashim that we use until today. We call it the Tanchuma, the Buber edition. I once found a lady in Mechala, all flustered. She was looking for a source, a student, but might have been postgraduate. I remember she was older. And she's standing outside the library practically in tears. So I said, what's the problem? She said, well, Rabbi Koopman quoted this source, and she can't find it. I said, where's the source, Tanchuma? I said, are you looking at a regular Tanchuma or a Tanchuma, the Buber edition? The next day she thanked me so, it was the Buber edition, but it's different pagination, different numeration. But all right, that's life, what can we say? Gedolei Gedol Yisrael, and you can have kids. I need not tell you, this is why
we're... Well, you gave us an example in the Monday class of the rabbi in Atlanta, Georgia.
I need not tell you. The rabbi in Atlanta, Georgia, take a look who his father was, who his uncle was. Gedolei Gedolei Yisrael, who would ever dream? But all right, at least at the end of his life, he felt he had made a mistake. We checked it out.
Chernyakhovsky, they ain't read that, then America should.
Chernyakhovsky is a poet. Here we have a speaking Yiddish lion, Chernyakhovsky, and he was married. He was not only married to a shiksa, there are other stories how he died, let it be. Okay, now, so you see, there's no question that when you come into Torah, if it doesn't alter your personality, you really aren't a Talmud Chacham, you really aren't someone that we're going to make a bracha over. When we mention Rav Moshe Feinstein and we mention the Rav, we're talking about people who, of course, it's not just their knowledge, it's the personage, it's the gestalt. Oh, you see a person like that, you're not the same anymore. Okay, now, I want to show you, the truth of the matter is, Jacob, there's a perek in the Rambam that develops this idea so beautifully. Do you know Hilchot Talmud Torah? Perek Gimel. And there, the Rambam talks about, if you look into Perek Gimel, Halach Aleph, and he's taking Pirkei Avot, he's taking Maimari Chazal, every word in the Rambam, he did not make up. Everything has sources. You can look into them and say, Kaleman, but I'm quoting the Rambam rather than the Mishnah, the Gemara, because it's all here. And he speaks about the three Ketar, that there are three great Ketarim in the world. There is Keter Torah, Keter Kahuna, Keter Malchut. Keter Kahuna, Keter Malchut, not everyone can claim. But the greatest crown in the world is open to everyone, and that is Keter Torah. And the Rambam goes on to describe what does it mean, someone who claims the Keter Torah and lives in accordance, liot muchta b'kitra shel Torah. It's an entire different personality. And the whole Perek Gimel goes on to describe what it means Torah and what your values in life are. And we struggle with this today. We live, as you all know from my press conference and as you all know from life, Ger v'tosha v'nachim machem, as we're going to see in next week's Sedra, we all live in two worlds. What are your real values? They're people for money, honey. Money is honey. That's what counts. They're flashy to get ahead. They dream at night. And there are other people, Torah, Yiret Shemayim, a proper life. And by the way, you see this with Aliyah. I've seen people come on Aliyah. I've seen people go back. I've seen people struggle. And time and again, people will tell me their hard luck stories here. And they'll never get sympathy from me because I've had it plenty hard here. There was no nefesh benefesh when I came. And it was a different country. You have no idea, but if you have that commitment, if that's what motivates you, it's a different personality, a different gestalt, different sense of values. And this is the Rambam Perikim, but I want to show you one more thing in the Rambam.
One of the reasons for the Korban Bayit is because...
Shelo Birchat HaTorah.
That means that a guy can do no knowledge, and
it's not. And if you don't, exactly, if you don't have Birchat HaTorah, if there's not the Yiret Shemayim, if there's not the transformation of the personality, you're lacking. You're not the Ben Torah, you're not the Talmud Chacham. And look at the Rambam, Perek Gimel, Halach Yud Gimel. I want to quote part of it. Af al pi she mitzvah lilmod biyom v'layla, ein adam lomad. Ein Adam lomeid rov Torato ela belaila. Lefikach, mi sheratzeh liskot beketa haTorah yizacheh b'chol alelad, v'lo yabed afilu achat meihem b'sheina v'achila v'shtiya v'sicha u'kiyotzei behem ela b'talmid Torah v'divrei chachma. Amru chachamim, ein Gorno shel Torah ela laila, shenema kumi roni belaila, v'chol ha'osek b'Torah belaila, chut Shel chesed nimshach alav b'yom. If you devote your night to learning, you're like Moshe Rabbeinu who came down from the mountain, his face was shining. You will be shining. Light will emanate from you. What a Rambam. Laila. Now let me tell you what the Rav had to say, and this will bring back the memory of last week. Vatakadosh, Laila. Laila, the Rav said, this Rambam, in his opinion, does not only mean nighttime. Nighttime is a euphemism for difficulty. Nighttime, there's no light. We use artificial light. Thank God today we have wonderful lighting. Imagine what it was like with a lamp, what it was like with kerosene lamps. Everything was limited. Lights would go out. Darkness. Darkness you can't see. Darkness is frightening. Some of you know, you grow older, you don't want to drive at night. I limit my nighttime driving by day. Baruch Hashem. Nighttime, it's symbolic of difficulty. And what the Rambam is saying, and what the Gemara is saying, Kumi Roni Belaila, that it's not just to learn Torah by day, when it's easy, when you have support, when you don't have to worry about panasa, when you don't have to worry about money. The real achievement is Torah when it's difficult, when you're oppressed, when you have to suffer to learn Torah. That's the real achievement of Torah. And I can tell you something, and Rabbi Rubin will agree with me. I learned Torah under many different conditions. I taught and learned. Nothing compares to the feeling I had when I taught Torah in Russia, frightened for the knock on the door. You can take all these people who came from Russia. We had a great, great miracle. This is not to be forgotten, that we brought back to life a third of the Jewish people who were totally cut off. They're now part and parcel of the Jewish people. We also argued about that Friday night. Let all of Moscow come and Allah. If I would take the attitude, let all of Moscow come and Allah, 500 Jews would have come and another 50,000 would have assimilated. You understand? But Rakefet thinks differently. I'm the greatest Zionist. No one has to tell me about Zionism. I'm here 49 years. Next year I celebrate 50 years. Be'ezrat Hashem. All right. Inspire. Bring them out of the woodwork. Today in Moscow, you got 1,000 families that drink only Chalav Yisrael. Do you understand? Now, out of them, you're going to get the finest. They're going to come in Aliyah. Who came in Aliyah from Muncie, from Teaneck, from Englewood, from West Hempstead, from Los Angeles, etc. The finest. But this is nighttime. Nighttime is symbolic. It's a cinnamon when life is difficult. And if you can rise and achieve and learn, that transforms the personality. Keter shel Torah. Beautiful thought. Gentlemen, I want to tell you I am very proud. This morning, I don't know who put this out, where it's from, just laying around. Come, take. Advertising, why you? And I must be doing something good. Picture, the biggest picture of all, the Mashpia, my Talmud, Rabbi Weinberger. Wow, Rakevet has to be doing something right. That's his Talmud. But wait a minute. Another Talmud is here. And I take a look. Here we have it. A student who studied with me in the Kollel. Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman, President, Yeshiva University. And I can't believe it. What do you see staying to the YU students? You should learn deep into the night. Deep into the night. Advertising the night Seder Ayeh at Yeshiva University. Wow. But think about the night. It doesn't just mean the night. It means difficulty. Imagine what it meant. They once interviewed Professor David Halivni Weiss, who survived so many death camps, and he had one sheet of his son studied here in the Kollel, a mismach of the yeshiva, Rabbi Weiss, should live and be well, had one sheet of Shulchan Aruch that somehow survived. That's all he had with to learn, to look at for 4 or 5 years. And could you imagine that learning, that joy, that transformation of a personality, what it means? Beautiful. So the question, Rabbi Turk asking the question, who's acting like a why you person, and saying, yes, I agree, there's a difference between a Jew learning Torah and a non-Jew learning general knowledge, but nevertheless, if a Jew knows general knowledge, Lomani Gara, why should he suffer? He knows, he's learned, he's won a Nobel Prize. All right, you can't say Shechalak Michachmatol Reyav, but why not say Shenatan Michachmatol Basav Adam? Why is he any different than a Gentile? Okay, and then he goes on, and the Menashe Klein now quotes his question, and he goes and he elaborates a little bit more. Yes, what's your first name?
Yisrael,
yeah.
What's the location of the tshuva over there?
Chelik tetvav mishnah halachot siman ayin dalet. Tetvav ayin dalet. Jacob, you know what happened? I told you the story. I first met Rav Menashe Klein when I was dealing with a Reuven. And I was enchanted by him. So I went through later when my mother died, my brother and I decided to contribute money. My brother gave to his, my brother has two, a son-in-law and a son, who are once a Rosh Kollel, once a big Rosh Yeshiva. So he gave money for Sfarim to their schools, and I gave here. So Rabbi Miller said, make a list of what you want us to get. So one of the things I asked for was Rabbi Menashe Klein, 18 volumes of Responsa literature. So I went through all 18 volumes with a pencil, word by word, and I picked out a few hundred tshuva that open a world to you. And this is one of the tshuva that you see. Rabbi Menashe Klein, as open-minded as he is, you'll see how narrow-minded as he is. It's fascinating to see this individual deal with a question like this. Okay, so then it goes a little further. And then, well, tell me, we see that they had to know all the knowledge, and there's so much knowledge in the world, and what is the knowledge about? And here, I want to quote to you from Nachum Lam's email, because basically Nachum Lam hits the nail on the head. The Rishonim and all the Mefarshim talk about the 7 branches of knowledge on the menorah. Okay, there was the central flame and 7 branches, fine. Or there are 6 branches with the central flame, I should say. 7 branches of knowledge. What are they? And the 7 branches of wisdom probably refer to the 7 subjects studied in classical and medieval times. The trivium of grammar, logic, and rhetoric, and the quadrivium of arithmetic, geometry, music, and astronomy. And like I said last week, music was considered up there in importance. You got the B.A., for the trivium and the MA for the quadrivium. And you went on to study practical matters like architecture or medicine, or higher matters like philosophy or theology, which were all linked anyway, for which you got a PhD. So this gives you an idea what they mean, general knowledge. And Rabbi Menashe Klein agrees with Rabbi Turk that the Jews had to know everything. And if the Jews had to know everything and it's all part of Torah knowledge, he quotes the Hakdama of the children and the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon to the Shulchan Aruch. What am I talking about? The Haggad HaGrah. Haggad HaGrah, it was not written by the Vilna Gaon himself. What they did was, when the Vilna Gaon died, they took all the Svarim he learned from, and on every daf that he learned, he wrote Haggad on the side. I'll tell you a story in a second that'll make you laugh. But these Haggad became the base for Haggad HaGrah on Shulchan Aruch. In the introduction, the children say that our father knew every type of general knowledge except for music. The only thing that he didn't master, that he didn't know, he yidda lov talmido b'akdamat ha-shulchan orich she'egil sofdat kol ha-chachmat chutz me'chachmat. A musica. Let's say that. Very fascinating. Very fascinating. The knowledge, the Vilna Gaon, ad kedei kach, chachmat ha musica was the only thing he was lacking. His Talmud translated Euclid into Hebrew. He says, "My Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, asked me to translate." What's fascinating here with Haggad, I'll tell you a true story that happened in room 102 in the main academic center of Yeshiva University. My chaver, who grew up with me in the Bronx, was a young man named Shaya Berlin. Shaya Berlin, there were two brothers. Shaya was the older brother. I would imagine its parents got to America running away from Europe in the 1930s, and Shaya was very, very brilliant. And we're sitting in the Rav Shir, and the Rav notices everyone else is taking notes in a notebook, you know, scribbling. I used to scribble in class, and then at night I'd be up to 3, 4 in the morning, rewriting everything in good Hebrew, you know, neatly and clearly. Those notebooks I have until today, some of you may know that on Sanhedrin, my notes on, I think it's Perek Gimel, are the only notes that survived the Perek Bet in Sanhedrin. What the OU put out, the Rav's Torah on Sanhedrin, they thanked me in the introduction that no one else had notes that survived. And those notes saved as the basis for reworking the Rav's thinking, the Rav Sheurim. So the Rav noticed that Balin is not taking notes. Instead of taking notes, he's writing on the side of the Gemara, on the margins, on the right side, the left side, and the Rav suddenly gets upset and says, "Balin, ich hab nicht gewusst, dass du bist a Vilna Gaon. I didn't know that you're a Vilna Gaon, that you can write on the side of the Gemara instead of taking normal notes." The worst part was that Balin didn't even react. His attitude was, "Gefshef, Sirkbinich," you know, like, really, I am like the Vilna Gaon. Later in life, he moved to Boston, Brooklyn. I understand he was very big, he had a PhD in physics, and I think he worked for Bell Telephone or one of these big firms up, and that had he was in the Boston area. He married a girl from Boston, as I recall. As a matter of fact, I think it was the first time I ever was in Boston was for his wedding, which fell Motzai Purim, Shushan Purim night, and we all in a state of shock. The Rebbe's Masada Kedushin, and we hear under the chuppah, "Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Niyeh B'dvarav." And we couldn't believe it. We thought, Rebbe, and then we found out, it turned out there was no unopened bottle of wine in the hall, and the Rav was chayshish that if there's an open bottle, who knows who touched it, who drank from it. So he was mekadesh on whiskey, on schnapps. And that was Shaya's wedding. But music, you see, amazing what falls under the category of the seven branches of wisdom. And in Hachinami, it is said that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, people came in and spoke about music to him. He knew everything, including classical music. And I know my classmate, the world doesn't know, but my classmate, Dr. Grach, Rav Dr. Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, do you know that he has a certificate? He can lead a symphony orchestra. He took classes and studied and passed all these exams, and he understands the secret of music, and music cannot be denied. It was just Shlomo Kalbach's Yahrzeit. What was it last week? I believe today is Meir Kahane's Yahrzeit. Maybe it's a Shlomo Kalbach. I may be confused with the days, but it's right now that we have these two big Yahrzeits, and you see Kalbach music, the impact, the whole Baal Tshuva movement. So it cannot be pushed away, but we see that all this knowledge is for the sake of Torah. How can you say that you can't make a bracha on a Jew who does know knowledge but not Torah knowledge? All right, that's the person questioning, that's the person Rabbi Turk, that's the person pushing the Mishnah Halachot against the wall. What is your answer? And the Mishnah Halacha here goes into great detail. First of all, yes, a Gentile has to know. A Jew, there is no concept of general knowledge. It's all part of Torah. Just think what he's saying. All the knowledge we have is to enhance our ability to live in the world, to understand Torah. And you can go, any example you want to give, you can put it under the rubric of Torah. The example I gave before, Ani, a Reuven, Ni, the Yavam, it goes without saying, the more knowledge we have. But I'll go further. Watch. Imagine if we conquer cancer. Imagine if our kids, I cannot tell you how much research is being done in the state of Israel. I mean, it's an amazing thing here. I have a grandson involved in medical research at Haifa in the Technion. You can't believe what's being done. You can't believe the money being invested. Let's say they come up and I tell my grandson, if you don't win a Nobel Prize, you're a thief, plain and simple. They invited him in. You can't come into this PhD, MD program. They invite you in. And he after Hester, and he started medical school there. And it's some story. They say, you're a thief. Wins a Nobel Prize. Tell me, what he has done, does it have Torah implications? 100%. Milu et ha'aretz. No, v'kivshuha. The Rav, v'shalacha. This is a fulfillment of the human being created in the image of God, conquering the world. Nothing to do with general knowledge. It has to be with your very essence of being a Jew. I have another grandson involved in research in a different area altogether, all right, studying for a PhD. I can't go into many details, but I told you we were in Haifa Sukkot, and his professor likes his grandparents. I guess people speak Hebrew, and they've lived here a long time and contributed. And it's the second time we were there. We got a whole show of what they're doing and the video and the experiment. Tremendous implications for the Navy of Israel and afterwards for the whole world, what Israel can gain out of it. Well, what does this have to do with Torah? Very simple. Pikuach nefesh, bitachon Yisrael. What's going on around us here? What are we, you don't know, with the tunnels, with Lebanon, with the news of Shabbat? I mean, this is earth-shaking news. The president of Lebanon resigns and is running for his life and accuses Iran of trying to take over the whole Middle East. And he's from Lebanon. Excuse me?
Saudi Arabia.
No, he's running for his life, I said. Could you imagine? He's running for his life. What are we supposed to say? That's Lebanon. Where is it? This is Habola Hagecha Hashkein V'Hargah. Then you raise the issue. So they develop something new, which the Navy here puts into operation successfully. They can sell it. Billions of dollars are going to come in. Economy, the state, money, standard of living, hospitals. Again, you come, a Torah world, fabulous, unbelievable. So you see, you can take all knowledge and all that we have, and it all contributes to Torah, to Jewish existence, to the gestalt of the Torah people in the modern world.
Why don't the Haredim help us?
Yitzchak, relax, relax. The Haredim...
He was one of them?
If you go to Lakewood, they'll maledict him today with his tshuva. You understand? He was not one of them entirely. He was idiosyncratic. He was unique. And you'll see here, he's not going to tell you that Chacham was important. It's important as part of Torah, as part of your Jewish existence. He's not going to make a bracha on Einstein. If there's not the whole picture, he's not going to make the bracha.
If a person wins the Nobel Prize,
According to him, no. According to me, yes. You follow? But we're studying. You know who Orman is, Professor Orman. We all know him. I taught his nieces, his nephews. Very fascinating individual. Mamish. We can be very proud. He's not an Amoritz. He's a Talmud Chacham, but he's not a Gadol Hadar. Whereas in his own field, in the play theory, he's a Gadol Hadar. Okay, but this is... Rav Menashe Klein is showing you, yes, I can't deny that Chachma is important, but it has to be from a Jewish point of view, a Jewish concept. To a similar degree, whether he realizes it or not, how many of you are familiar with the 19 letters of Ben Uziel? Okay, don't you see this whole gestalt there? Torah v'derech Eretz. The Jew has to be part of the big world. I'm quoting Hirschnell from the 19 letters. Who put us into the ghetto? We didn't choose. We were forced into the ghetto. And you look at the Rav, the way the Rav writes there, you're overwhelmed. It's a mamish, a Hirschian approach to a certain degree, 100%. But but the basis has to be Torah. And then he makes another point which is very interesting. How do you measure knowledge? And see here, he raises, so you have someone who knows, all right? So Einstein, this is what I alluded to before. Einstein knows mathematics, knows science. What did Einstein know about, for the sake of argument, anatomy, biology? These are different worlds. Do you have to know everything? And he gives an example. What if someone, well, using his example now, someone knew Hilchit Mila. Someone knew Hilchit Mila, a mole, outstanding, knows Mila backwards and forwards. That's the example he gives. I'll give you a different example. You take a Shochet. Shochet has to know Shchita Bedika. Tell me, what about the other Chalkei Shulchan Aruch? What about the other Simanim in your Adaya? You'll take a shochet. I'm going to talk with him. I just opened up the Chafa, the volume, the 11th volume of the Abiya Oma. I can't believe what I saw, what I have. I have to tell you, my daughter has a case with Mamzeret now, and I gave her she just Xeroxed pages. She's presenting the Dayanim are going to faint. My daughter's presenting. I don't know if they saw Yud Aleph. But what knowledge, and how he comes up with Sveikot, and how he's Matim Mamzerut. Wow, unbelievable. I'll talk about it in class at a certain point. Bezrat Hashem, B'li Neda, but I had this material 20 years ago when I lectured on it. I don't know what to do. I finished Chelek Gimel, the Rakafet Aaron is in print. You all have it. I have to make an addendum. What I say at the end with Bitul Haged, he paskins la'alacha, no question, no problem. So you'll talk with the Sheikhed about Sveik Sveiker to be Matar and Aguna. He'll look at you, won't know what you're talking about. Talk with him, Sveik Sveiker to be Matar along there he'll understand. You follow me, Yosef? So you make a bracha, he raises, he says, you, when you talk about knowledge, you have to know everything. If you don't know everything, then you don't make a bracha. And Gedolei Yisrael, you see, you take the Rav. Let's take the Rav for an example. Yitzchak, you can bear testimony. Sam Dershowitz tells me this all the time. These are people that lived in Brookline. It's not Rakefet talking who knew the Rav from New York, not from Brookline. Shabbos Mincha, after Mincha, the Rav sat around with the Balabatim, and you could ask him any question you wanted. Sam Dershowitz said to me, all the years he was in Boston, he never saw the Rav stutter for 1 minute. Whatever he was asked, he was right up to date. Shut it out with you as if he had just finished the sugya 1 minute earlier. You follow? And these were Gedolei Yisrael. They went into the rocket shovels. The famous story, Reb Lezer Silva, 37, went to visit his Rebbeim on the way to the Knesset Gedolah B'Agudat Yisrael. So he went into the Orsa Meichi, learned by the Meshech Chachma and the Rakach. They were in one city. One was the Litvish Rav, one was the Chassidish Rav. Rabbi Yosef Rosen was the Chassidish Rav. So he comes out of the Rabbi Yosef Rosen at the Rakach Shafa, and the Orsa Meich says to him, "Nu, how are you impressed? Was Trachman?" And Rav Lezer Silva says to the Orsa Meich, "It's amazing. What a memory. What a memory." And the Yosef Meir cuts him off and says, "You don't know what you're talking about, my son. He has no memory whatsoever. A memory is someone like me. I learned the sugya 10, 20 years ago, so I have to think and tell you, with the ragged shava, munach lefanav kekufsa, it's like he learned the sugya 1 second ago. It's not memory. It's all at his fingertips. Kala Torah kula. Ah, that's already where you have to make shechalak mechachmato lebriotav lebasu b'dam. And that's the famous story. Bialik came in to see the Rakat Shav. You don't know the story. Was it Bialik? Someone came in and they asked him afterwards, how does he compare to Einstein? I think it was Bialik, and Bialik said, from one rocket shovel you can make 2 Einsteins, you follow? So I think these people, the knowledge, and with Bialik, I think there's a second side to the story, that they asked the rocket shovel, you know, the Kanoyim, Asul Yispachel Bevnei Russia, how did you look at Bialik? He's not like, what are you, a legendary yeshiva boy anymore. And the rocket shovel answered, who said I looked at him? I looked down, and he gave him a good answer. So yes, Sam.
Where the story is told, where the Rav Shavar heard what Bialik said, and he said,
with the scraps,
you can make 10 Bialiks.
With the remaining scraps of the leftover Einstein, you can make 10 Bialiks. That I didn't hear, but okay, that sounds like I'm saying he looked down, he didn't look at him. Okay, one thing I can tell you, Bialik wouldn't have paskined, you can be Mechallel Shabbos, but for Hesley in Tel Aviv. So that much remained with him, Baruch Hashem. And he has a relative now who's a Bala Tshuva, what's her name? Mayim Bialik, I think. Except it hurts me that the Chovah, the neoconservatism, like that's a new form of Torah, so you can be in neoconservatism, which halavai, I should be wrong. That's all. I bite my lips. Then, gentlemen, now I'm coming. Oh boy. This. I'm throwing out something, and you can take it further for the next 49 years. I trust some of you recognize this. It's one of the so much blood and ink has been spilled on the Rambam, but the Ragat Shava, not the Ragat Shava, Reb Menashe Klein makes another point here, and he says. And even when you say we make a bracha for goyim who know sheva chachmat, but he says, even there has to be an overtone of yirat shemayim. Okay, and let me show you the Rambam. Let's hit it face to face. Give me 1 second. Here it is. Okay. Hilchot Melachim. Perit Chet. Halacha Yud Aleph. Kol hamakabel sheva mitzvot v'nizhar lasotem harei ze mechasidim batolam v'yesh bo chelek lalam haba. Beautiful. Rambam Paskins, the whole sugya in Sanhedrin. We once asked the Rav, actually Shaya Berlin asked the Rav, what did they study in Yeshivat Shem Ve'eva? So the Rav, with a sense of humor, answered, "Was fragt me? What are you asking me? Ich hab nicht given Rosh Yeshiva dort. I was not the Rosh Yeshiva then, Yeshivat Shem Ve'eva." But then, after the class left, this was, we're learning Sanhedrin, so the Rav said, it's not a Shaila. They studied Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach goes back to, I can't say creation of the world, but it goes back 10 generations later. Noach, the flood, come out, the Sheva Mitzvot.
Which parak is this?
Perik Chet Halacha Yud Aleph. And from the Nosei Kelim, you'll get all the sources from the Gemara. You'll see. It's a whole figure in the Gemara, Sanhedrin, Kufchei, Yomar Aleph, elsewhere. Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noah. Fine. Good answer. That's what they studied. All right. Now, Harei Chusei Chasidei Umat Olam. And you all know the Lubavitcher Rebbe began a campaign not only reaching out to Jews, but reaching out to Gentiles. They should take upon themselves the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And there's video footage from Chabad where they're giving out the dollar bills, where the Rebbe is giving out the dollar bills Sunday. They're taxes cattlemen, goyim gemurim, standing in front of the Rebbe, getting dollar bills, and they're telling the Rebbe, "We are your Hasidim," they pronounce it. "We signed up to observe Sheva Mitzvah." When I was in Australia, so after davening, after I spoke, some of the Balabatim there took Malcolm and myself for a walk around to see all the shuls. Very fascinating. So we're coming, this is in Melbourne, so we're coming to this big, beautiful shul, and they're coming out, they just finished davening. And we see a whole group of people walking together. You could see the Sabbath on their faces with beards, and they tell us these people aren't Jewish. They're Gentiles who took upon themselves, signed on in the campaign to observe the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And we met them, and we looked at them, and they said to us, "Good Shabbos, good Shabbos." It was unbelievable. And you could hear they weren't Jewish. They didn't look Jewish. Their wives, you could tell for sure. Men have beards. It's a little harder to see what's under the beard. But this is the Rebbe, and here you see Hareze mechasidei umat holam. The yesh lo chelik lolam haba. That's Pirkei the Rebbe Eliezer, Perek Lamed Aleph, I believe. There's whole two gisot there. Chasidei umat holam, yesh lo chelik lolam haba. There's even a gisa ki Yisrael. That no different than a Jew. Right or wrong? Yisrael.
According to the Rambam, only
Yitzchak, you suffer from suffering. Everything so good, wonderful. Sheva Mitzvot. However, what does it mean, Sheva Mitzvot? And here the Rambam adds on, V'hu sheyakabel otan v'yaseh otan mipnei shetziva b'chem HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah. For Hodiyana wa yaday Moshe Rabbeinu, Shebenei Noach mikodem nitztavu behem, avolim yisan mipnei hechreya hadad, ein ze ger toshav, v'ein o mechaseyu mat olam, ela mechachameichem. Wow. Gentlemen, on this Rambam, so much ink has been spilled. Look what the Rambam says. Let's now go back. I meet Hasidim who signed up, cattlemen, medical doctors, famous business people, signed up to observe Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Do I have to ask them, why did you sign up. Imagine he says, I signed up because it's logical, it's common sense. What kind of world will we have if we don't observe Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach? Can't kill, can't rob, can't commit adultery, laws of proper family relationships. Nothing is more beautiful, nothing is more logical. Without this, we don't have humanity. The world will disappear. Do you believe in God? Well, I don't know. I never thought about that. It's not material to this issue. It's exactly, what does the Rambam mean that it's not the word of God? Because some of the Sheva Mitzvot involve basic faith, no idolatry, etc. But anyway, imagine you ask him, yeah, it's logical. It's not that God commanded. Doesn't this sound like Mordechai Kaplan? Mordechai Kaplan. Judaism as a civilization. Jacob, God is secondary. We can burn him in or burn him out. It's like a burned stain, burning a stone. God is secondary. Or no, the Gentile has to say, this is the word of God. This is revelation. This is why I'm doing it. You understand? The Rambam here is so clear. What is the real text in the Rambam? They're variant readings. And then there's even a more basic question. Where's the source for this? Maybe we can answer Yitzchak's question. Right, there shouldn't be blasphemy. It's logical there's a God. There's logical it's a creator. But my observance comes about because of common sense. You follow? You can't have a world without this. Well, no, he has to say, my observance comes about because of belief in God. Very interesting. What is the Rambam? What is he saying? Where did he get it from? How does it affect us? Halacha l'maisa. All right, you can look into the Nosei Kalim, look into the variant readings. So much has been written about this Rambam. But Rav Menashe Klein deduces, what do we see from this Rambam? To be a good Gentile, you have to believe. All right, now take it one step further. Professors, the news, what's going on today? The finest schools, the finest universities, the finest professors, including Hebrew U, including Tel Aviv U, Haifa U, every university in America, professors seducing, pressuring women, the inference being, you want a good grade? Don't want to spell it out. You see Hollywood. People are geniuses in their fields. And take a look, Me Too, what's going on? What's the new movement called? Me Too, Me Also. You know what I'm talking about. How many women are coming out of the closet? Unbelievable. What good is knowledge? What good is your textbook knowledge? What good is your 7 different candles of knowledge if you live like a maneuver? Lo aleinu, we have it in our field as well. How many rabbis? It's very sad. I never dreamt we would be like the Catholic Church. There isn't a day where there's not another charge made. Don't have to go into detail. We live it in the country. You see what's going on. You see what went on in New York. I met people from Torah Temimah in Flatbush. And the first thing we said was, Oive, you're from that yeshiva? They say, yeah, we know it has a very bad reputation. There was one manufel there for years. What good is knowledge? So you see, this Rambam, when people ask what the source is, it could very well be the source is common sense. What's good of knowledge without an ethical, moral personality? Could be. You don't need a source. It's just common sense. And all the Rishonim struggle with this Rambam. Sharabban omerkach misvaradanav shei. I'm quoting from the Kesef Mishnah. Unachonahi. And the Kesef Mishnah says it makes sense. And when the Kesef Mishnah says it makes sense, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's common sense. You don't need a source. Decency has to go hand in hand with moral, ethical behavior. Knowledge without this type of decency is second rate, to a certain degree worthless. To a certain degree, for Jews, it's one big Chilul Hashem. And even for Gentiles, you arrest a professor for immoral behavior. What does it say to the students? You can study. Study amounts to nothing. Decency, ethics, morals. Sounds like Reformed Judaism. Without a good heart, all the behavior in the world, when it's immoral and unethical, is not going to get you a share in the world to come. And this is the Rambam. And you see, Rav Menashe Klein here is now putting more stitches, I would say, who you make a bracha on. You have to know a great deal of knowledge. Knowing Hilchat Mila backwards and forwards doesn't make you a Chacham Yisrael who knows a lot of Torah.
So you're going to say basically,
Derech Eretz could be, exactly. And in addition, he quotes the Rambam that you have to believe the knowledge, the actions, the commitment to Sheva Mitzvot, if it's not a result of the Word of God, and it's only plausible, decency, ethical, a result of real life, that is not enough. And he goes on to say, and if this applies to the Gentiles, Kol Shekein b'Yisrael, She'ika ha'chachama shelonu hu ha'torah, u'bezeh nehegeh yomam v'layla. And if you're lacking knowledge in Torah, if you're not behaving properly, Ein ze nikra chacham. This person is not considered a chacham, and you do not make a bracha over him. So you see, Rabbi Samuel Turk has asked the wonderful question, what is the status of the Jew who's great in a certain general field of knowledge? And what about a Gentile? When do we make the bracha? When don't we make the bracha? And you see Rabbi Menashe Klein's approach? He's starting to say that with a Jew it has to be total commitment to Yiddishkeit, total commitment to learning. Whatever general studies he will know will be as a part of learning, improving Torah, supplementing Torah, deepening Torah, enabling him to learn Masechtet Ani. But a Gentile, without that basic commitment, you don't make a bracha. And you see, it may be in agreement with the Aruch HaShulchan, who's not being quoted by the Mishnah Halachat, that when the Aruch HaShulchan says it's all subjective, how much do you have to know? That may very well be a reflection of what Rav Menashe Klein is saying. Imagine if you're an expert in geometry and know nothing else. La Havdil, an expert in Hilchat Mila and know nothing else. That's not sufficient. You have to know a lot more. All right, so I want to reiterate, so far today, what have we done? We've scratched the surface of this question. I'm going to show you an amazing Gemara next week, Reb Menashe Klein, the Samuel Turk. You'll see Rabbi Turk, an amazing Gemara in Shabbos that says it all. But just to reiterate today, the question is fascinating. The lashon of the bracha, the difference between shechalak to natan, only with Torah, only when you bind with God, it's different. We spoke about the gestalt, the transformation of the person, and there's no question that kumi roni belaila, that Rambam, I remember hearing the Rav talk about nighttime difficulty and teaching Torah, afraid of the knock on the door. I experienced it. Baruch atah Adonai Melech Haolam she'akol yemei tzara. I wonder if you would ask the Russians who came in Aliyah, the Seruvnikim, and a sociological study should be done. It would lead to a doctorate. Take 25 names of well-known Seruvnikim out of the 70s into the 80s. What happened to them 25, 30 years later? Where are they at? It would be a very interesting question. And one of the questions I would like to deal with is those who became Talmidei Chachamim, became Rabbanim, where was your greater joy of learning? Today, in Eretz Yisrael, Becheirut, Bechafshiyut, or was the greater joy in Russia, underground, worried about the knock on the door? Fascinating question.
I gave 4 lectures in Moscow to an underground teacher seminar about the where we believe in Torah, where we believe in
Torah. Right, right.
And that was what you exactly what you described.
Okay, I know the feeling.
They sat there taking notes like I was the world. I said to myself, this is shocking. You know, I know what I know, but these people, they didn't even know that. So it was like to them it was all...
It's more than that. I spoke in Moscow. It's on the whyyoutorah.org. But you need patience because I'm interrupted every few minutes. They translate into Russian. I spoke the first talk I gave was on the importance of the shluchim because it revealed to you Torah Shebal Peh. I spoke about the fact that there had to be a Torah Shebal Peh because from a written Torah you can't get the whole spirit of the Torah. And I said what the Mossad did with that branch, the Tiv, and sending Shluchim, and all that we did, and I play a role in it, I said we were bringing the Torah Shebal Peh to the Serivna community. I said that was perhaps the greatest achievement of all. And I can tell you little stories, like when we washed, Netilat Yadayim, Malka washed, people looked at her. They never knew that women washed Netilat Yadayim. You follow? It was more than just the knowledge. It was the entire gestalt. All right, so we see in the development of the tshuva that there's no question Rabbi Menashe Klein is not as broad as Rabbi Turk. Rabbi Turk is trying to show that secular knowledge is a study unto itself, and if a man succeeds, make a bracha, whether he's Jew or Gentile. Rabbi Menashe Klein develops the whole concept that secular knowledge for a Jew is part of enhancing his Torah gestalt. And even for a Gentile, you have to have Yirat Shemayim, and he touches upon a Rambam that, as Yitzhak already alluded to, when you go into philosophy, what is the Rambam really saying? What is the source for the Rambam? Because the Gemara doesn't say it. The Gemara takes for granted. If you're doing Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, there has to be a certain God, a cognizance in it. But okay, the Rambam's point is, because as Mishnah says, he's absolutely right, and it has all the halachic implications. Gentlemen, tomorrow, I wouldn't miss the shiur tomorrow for all the rice being eaten in China today and all the sushi that Netanyahu will be offered, not Netanyahu, that President Trump will be offered in Japan where he landed this morning, according to the news. Tomorrow we continue with Agudat HaRabbanim, the original dream, and then I'm going to get involved with a case study, the Ritvaz with Rabbi Album in Chicago, to show you what was involved in the ground, not in theory anymore, but the real machloket, and how it was finally solved. And it gives you an idea of the Agudat HaRabbanim in the early part of the 20th century. Let me just give out what I have to give out. This, hold on 1 second, this is for Yitzchak. Anyone who wants Rav Kook on Pashat, that's yesterday, Pashat Vayera. If anyone's interested, we mentioned the Marx Brothers. My Talmud Rabbi Dr. Mark Wiener sent me a whole printout on the Marx Brothers. They were all a Jewish family, who they were, how many children. This is the story from the New York Times, what's big news today, how they wanted to name the new train in Germany in Anne Frank. And they had a back off. And I don't know, you have to think about it. Yitzchak, 1 second. This is all baseball. Take this where are you tomorrow? But you're not involved with the basement, right? This is all
baseball.
All baseball for
my friend Michael.
Enjoyed
your book.
Tomorrow Be'ezrat Hashem, I have a lot more material, but it's mainly Chabad material. I want to wish Steve Breschler a successful, good trip to the old country, going coast to coast, Kanayin Hara, and we should just have Besorah Tovet until tomorrow, until we meet again in health and happiness. Das V'danya.